What's the Greek word for fellowship, Paul? Well done. I knew you'd know it. Well done. What does it mean?
Fellowship.
Yeah, it means fellowship. Yeah. And the root of the word means common or shared. So fellowship means participation in something that you have in common. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and you've got nothing in common with them at all? You go off to a family party or a party of any sort, and you're there and you meet up with this person that you're introduced to, and they go, "Hello, Jean, nice to meet you." And you go, "Yeah, nice to meet you." I don't think Jean would have this problem, to be honest. But they say, what do you do for a living? And you tell them, and they go, "Oh." and that the conversation just becomes awkward and stilted, and eventually it's after a reasonable amount of time, whatever that is, you go, "Well, I'll have to go because I've got to talk to Bill," and off you go. And you've nothing in common, and it makes it really difficult to have that conversation. Fellowship is based on having something in common. And that's why fellowship, I think, can happen outside talking to Don about Manchester City, or even talking inside to Paul about Manchester United, or whatever, because it's something that we've got in common, an interest in football, or an interest in golf, or an interest in... And later on, we're going to have a quick look at this bit about being in the world but not of the world, because that's worrying as well, isn't it? How can fellowship be talking to someone about City? Where's God in that? Are you in the world but not of it? And it's very complicated, but God does give us the answers. So we have fellowship with God and Christ Jesus. We read it in our reading, and we've sang about the faithfulness of God. And 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, "God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Fellowship with God is essential. It's more essential than fellowship with other Christians. I'll say it again if you want. Fellowship with God is essential. And I believe it's more essential than fellowship with other Christians. You need both. But if you give up on fellowship with God, you're not going to be interested in fellowship with other Christians. You've got to keep meeting with God. And you do that to maintain your faithfulness to Christ. The fellowship's achieved by studying your Bible and praying and worshipping God, either in private or in a group. And the goal of that is to establish that relationship, that fellowship that deepens and deepens and deepens. The fellowship with Jesus is deepened and strengthened every time we decide to walk the talk. Every time we decide to act on what we believe, that relationship is made a little bit deeper. Every time you go to Tesco and you talk about where you've been on Sunday and the fact that you've met with God. And we talked about fellowship this week. It was quite interesting listening to what fellowship was. I think we've got a bit of fellowship because we talk about the same things when we meet up in Tesco. What do you think? Every time that happens, your fellowship with God is deepened a little bit more. And every time that you meet with other Christians, that fellowship is deepened a little bit more. Fellowship with God is a necessary element and an important goal in the life of the Christian. We're trying to mould ourselves into Jesus. We're trying to become who Jesus was. So the more we meet with him, the nearer we get to him, and the more we see him, the more we're going to be like him. Romans 12 verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." I remember when I first became a Christian, I honestly, hand on heart, thought that Romans 12, verse 2 had happened for me because I'd given my life to God. And my mind had been renewed. It had happened. It had been done. It was finished. I was wrong. Renewing of the mind is still happening today, believe me. Every day that you get to know new things, God moves in a different way in your life. Your mind becomes renewed. It's an ongoing process, which is why Paul talks about running a race. We never get there, but we've got to stretch there. We've got to try and reach that finishing line, and our mind is renewed as we go along. So, fellowship with non-believers. Paul was talking about this earlier on, and it's a difficult area in the life of a Christian. And many times I've wondered, is it better to spend the whole of your life with Christians? Is that easier somehow? Is that better? Because you all believe the same things, and you can grow, you can talk about the things of God. And why do I have to spend time out in the world? We have to spend time out in the world because that's where God has sent us to make a difference. Salt of the earth and all that business. If we don't go out into the world, then what difference are we making? If we meet with other Christians in church and we meet at groups, people are there already Christians, they already believe in God. What difference are we making? The difference that we need to make is out there in the world. Fellowship and friendship is different. Fellowship and friendship is different, and Christian fellowship is different again. Fellowship is something that is shared by a group of people with a common bond, and for us that common bond is the blood of Christ. Fellowship includes friendship, but it also includes things that you can't get anywhere else. Things like encouragement for your faith, a commandment, a blueprint from God himself on how to live your life. We do have a responsibility to non-believers. Jesus told us this many times, and in Matthew 28:19-20, he said this: "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." We start with friendship. The people that are out there that are non-believers, we start with friendship. We get to know them. We love them. We look after them. We feed them. We clothe them. All that sort of thing. We show friendship to them. And then that friendship becomes fellowship. As we tell them why we've done what we've done. It's the simple pattern that Jesus lived every day of his life. He met people's needs where they were. And then he went on to tell them why he was meeting their needs. And what their deeper need was. The people that he healed, he would say, "I will physically heal you. But the important thing is spiritual healing. That's what you need more, and I'll do that as well." And that's the pattern. Friendship, fellowship, bring them into the church and share fellowship with them so that they can share fellowship with God. Does that make sense? It's a simple pattern, but sometimes we don't link them together. And we think that the friendship bit is somehow wrong. That really we shouldn't be spending time with these non-Christians. We should. In the world, but not of the world. Fellowship with other Christians. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Fellowship with other Christians is just as necessary today as it was then. And it will continue to be necessary. Every Christian needs to be around others, and especially those who are more established in the faith. It's a way of learning about Christianity. Not that people have made it, but every single person in the congregation today, I have no doubt at all, can teach me something about Christianity. Every single one of you could tell you me something or show me something I do not know and I need to apply in my life. And that's the same for each of you. Every other person in this congregation could show you something that you don't know. One thing that I've read and I've sort of learned really as well is that every teacher is a student and every student is a teacher. Nobody should be in the position where, or feel that they're in the position where they know everything. And that's one of the things, if I'm honest, that I love about independent Methodism. One of the things I love about independent Methodism is that we are all the same. Nobody is better or higher than anybody else. We all have gifts and we're all called to use them, and no gift is greater than another gift. And I think that's a real strength of our denomination and this church. There's an illustration. There's an old farmer who always went to church. And whenever anybody said to him, "How's your life going as a Christian?" or they were in a prayer meeting and they said, what do you feel you need to pray for? How do you need to move on with God?" And he always gave the same answer. And he said, "Well, I'm not making much progress, but I am well established." Whatever they asked him, "I'm not making much progress, but I am well established." You might have heard it, but in other terms from people. Anyway, there was one spring when he was hauling some logs around and his wagon wheels sank down to the axles in mud. And try as he would, he couldn't get the wagon out. And he tried all sorts of ways of doing it. And eventually, he sat on top of the logs and didn't know what to do. A neighbour, who'd always felt uncomfortable with his testimony, came along and greeted him. And he said, "Well, Brother Jones, I see you're not making much progress, but you must be content because you're well established in the mud." Are we well established or are we making progress? As a church, that's what we're looking at when we look at membership. But as individuals, are we feeling that we're just where we need to be? And to move on, I'm not sure about that. Because I'm happy where I am. I'm happy with what I'm going to and what I'm doing. And everything's all right at the moment. And if I'm honest, everything's in my control. So I'm controlling everything now. If I move on, quite scary, because the Holy Spirit might take over and do things that I'm not sure of. What if God demands more of me time? Or me money even? All sorts of things could happen. I think I'll stay where I am, because I'm well established. How true is that in our lives? Fellowship with other Christians also provides accountability for us to grow in our faith. We're accountable to the other members of our church. And that's a scary thing as well. And that's something that we say we're going to be when we become members. We're going to be accountable to the rest of the church. Not just to the leaders, not to the ministers, to the rest of the church. Everybody else who is a member, we are accountable to them. And they can come up to us and say, "What have you done for God this week?" Not sure we often do, but we're accountable and we can. We're going to do something unusual now. We're going to have a sermon break. Is that all right? It's a sermon break with a point, but I'm going to let you have a little bit of a break. So sit back and relax and enjoy some beautiful music by the Four Tenors. Anything? Anything? Have you ever seen that clip before? Anyone? You'll have heard the song before, but that specific one. What was happening?
Three became one.
Absolutely. But what were they doing during the performance? They were having a bit of fun, and all this business about, "No, it's you next." And I thought that added to it, and I thought it was quite funny. After the performance, there was a publication called the Atlantic Monthly, and the Atlantic Monthly representative spoke to the three tenors, and he tried to press the issue of competitiveness between the three men. And he said to them, which of you is the better singer? Which of you is the better singer? What's the reply? What would you reply?
All of us.
What they actually said, well, Domingo said this. He said, you have to put all your concentration into opening your heart to the music. You can't be rivals when you're together making music. Once you become rivals, the music suffers. You can't become rivals when you're making music. We're not rivals in the church. Fellowship is not about rivalry. It's about working together. You've all heard sermons about gifting and how we've got different gifts that we need to use together. And that's what it's about. That's what fellowship is all about. Accountability. We need to feel accountable to each other in a positive way. When I say the word accountability, how does it make you feel if you're honest? You don't have to answer this. Just have a think about the word accountability. I hear it a lot at work. I work for the university, and we're constantly hearing that. I work as a skills coach, they call me, looking after apprentices. And I'm told that as a skills coach, I have to be accountable to the university for the type of work that I do and the level of work that I do in order to get the apprentices to where they need to be. And when I hear the word accountability, quite often it makes me go, because it's targets, isn't it? That's how it feels to me. It's like they've set me a target, and if I meet that target, next year they're going to set me another one and it'll be there. And then if I meet that one the year after, they'll set me another one and that one will be there. And that's how accountability feels. Accountability in the church, and indeed in the world, shouldn't be like that. Accountability is about support and encouragement to be all that God wants you to be and needs you to be, and all that the church wants and needs you to be. So accountability, true accountability, is about support and encouragement, and that's what fellowship is, support and encouragement. Fellowship builds unity. Unity happens when we're intent and focused on one purpose and glued together in the Spirit and in love. Like anything else of value, hard work is necessary. So if you feel at the moment that you sat there and your Christian life is an easy add-on to the rest of your life, then I doubt very much that you're in line with what God wants you to be doing. Because Christianity, living Christianity, is hard work. But it's needed for the function that God has put the church there for. And the glue that holds it together is love. The glue that holds it together is love. And that's why I talk about accountability and fellowship being the same. Accountability in the world is very often not about love. It's about you must, you must. Accountability in the church is I love you, and God wants to use you so much more by doing this with you, by encouraging you to doing this, by stretching you, going that bit further. Love is necessary for unity, but also for the mission of the church. And that's also what membership is about. Membership and fellowship go together. John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we're coming to a close on the first topic of fellowship as we look at membership. And as we come to a close, I want to encourage and challenge all of us to rethink why we are here, to think differently, to think beyond that is on the surface, to think past all the clutter and junk that the evil one puts in front of us, and to focus on Christ and the church, to encourage one another, and as we share in fellowship, to remember that that fellowship is about challenging and encouraging, so that this church and the church universal can become what God wants it to be. Amen.